In our text, the Lord is commending the actions of Caleb. When he says of Caleb that he had another spirit with him, and congratulates Caleb for following him fully, there is something here that we should have an interest in. The commendations of the Lord are certainly noteworthy. What the Lord says is a good thing, or the man that God says has done well, is something that should be of interest to every child of the Lord. One of the things that it should certainly do is incite us to copy and to emulate those whom God has said have done well and have pleased Him. These should be our role models. These are the examples that we should be looking to. And when we read of the Lord commending Caleb here, this is the kind of thing that we should seek to follow. His example is one that is certainly worth emulating in our own lives. The characteristic that the Lord is particularly drawing to our attention and our notice in this place is the virtue of fully, or wholly as it's rendered here in the text, fully following the Lord, completely giving ourselves over to Him, to follow Him and to do as He has said. This is what the Lord finds worthy of credit and worthy of commendation in the man Caleb. We have to understand that the Lord does take note of how we follow Him. The Lord does take note and examine in the lives of His people how we are following Him. If He is able to say to Caleb here that Caleb had fully followed the Lord, then surely that indicates that the Lord takes note of how we follow. Indeed, we can go on to say that He takes note of whether we follow Him or not. He knows this morning where we stand. Are we following the Lord? Are we following Him fully? Now, these are the kind of things the Lord is looking for. These are the things that even now before Him in His presence, He examines and He knows. Am I following the Lord? Can I say, like Caleb, I'm fully, completely following Him? The Lord takes note of those things and stands ready to commend those who show the spirit that Caleb demonstrated. Here's a man then who even in life, and long before that day he met the Lord, and long before that day when he will enter into his reward for his faithful service, even in life, upon the earth, here's a man who gets the well done of God because he fully follows the Lord. This surely should be the ambition, the desire of every child of God. I want to please the Lord. I want to be one who is commended by Him, who hears those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, Caleb heard those words, and he heard them on the earth, in this life. We sometimes have the idea that we're going to have to wait and see until that day we stand before the throne of Christ at His return. We have to wait until then to find out whether we will be told, well done, good and faithful servant, or not. But that's not really the way of it at all. We can know now. We can hear those words now. We can have that commendation of God now as we wholly, fully, completely follow the Lord. That, of course, is necessary too, hearing those words on that day. And it's necessary to having the commendation of God even here in life. I want us to look at these words and first of all this morning to think just what it means to fully follow the Lord. What does that mean? What is that? What did Caleb do when the Lord said, He hath followed me fully? Well, if you look at the verse, there are some indications here just what this particular statement means. We want to think of the words that are used here. The first thing I think that is evident about what it means to fully follow the Lord is that it is to fully discharge the duties of a servant. The Lord speaks to Caleb using that word, My servant Caleb has fully
followed me. And right away we can see that to fully follow the Lord will mean to completely discharge the duties of a servant. It is to be a faithful servant. It is to stand before God and live before God as a servant. To follow the Lord and to follow the Lord fully is to act as His servant. It is to be in submission to His will in all things. The servant in Scripture is one who belongs to his master, is one who is to live for his master, to do the will of his master, to be in submission and surrender to the desires of his master in all things. The servant is one who indicates that he is a servant by his response to the master's will. Caleb, the servant of God, fully followed the Lord. The word servant is just one that comes from a verb meaning to labor or to work. He's one who labors. We could properly use the word laborer. And we have a certain, that word has a certain connotation today. Most often the word laborer is associated with heavy, physical manual labor. Manual toil. This is what Caleb was. He was a man who worked for God. He was a man who labored. This is what following the Lord means. He has given up himself to the will of the master and he engages in the duties of a servant and he works for the Lord. In Luke chapter 17, the Lord Jesus makes a statement there to his own disciples. Luke 17, and the verse 7, giving them a little illustration, and then in the verse 10, presenting them with the statement of truth that is taught in the picture. Verse 7, which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come in from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, or I judge not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. When we read of Caleb fully following the Lord as a faithful servant, we read words that really are very similar to those that are used by the Savior here. It is the duty of every disciple of Christ to fully, completely follow the Lord. That is their duty. We are to recognize that in verse 10. The Lord Jesus says we are to recognize that it is our duty to do all that the Master has commanded. That is our calling in life. We are called to be the servants of the Lord. And it is no extraordinary thing in a servant. It's nothing of special notice whenever the servant does what he's told. In one sense, that's not an extraordinary thing at all. That's his duty. That's his work. And that's the point that the Lord is making here in his words. There's nothing exceptional about full obedience. That's the Christian's calling. It's not something to begin to blow our own trumpet about and think we've done something special. No. It's our duty. There's nothing exceptional about such a thing. The duty of the believer is to follow the Lord in this fashion. We are to do all those things, verse 10 of Luke 17, do all those things which are commanded you. We are to fully follow the Lord. The believer, to use the words of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 6, is to love the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind. If you read those words in that portion there in Deuteronomy 6, when he rises up, when he sits down, when he goes out, when he comes in the family situation, in every situation in life, he is
to serve the Lord, to love the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind. That is the duty of the servant of God. That's what it means to follow the Lord fully, as Caleb did. Sadly, for many Christians, what the Lord speaks of as being a perfectly ordinary thing and a perfectly unexceptional thing, doing what you're told, doing everything that you're told, that, the Lord says that there's nothing exceptional about that. But for many Christians, it would be an exceptional thing if they were to do all that they were told. It would be an exceptional thing indeed. It would be a marvelous thing. It would be something entirely unprecedented if today they were beginning to serve the Lord and to do all that he had commanded them to do. It would mean something entirely new for them. Because up until this point in their Christian experience, they haven't been doing their duty. They haven't been living as they ought. Here's a man and he fully, faithfully follows the Lord as a servant and does all that he has been commanded. To fully follow the Lord means something else. It means to single-mindedly serve the Lord. Is that not obvious from the words that are used in the text? He fully followed the Lord. Completely. And when you do something fully, there's no room for anything else. Caleb's life was filled. And that's just the literal significance of the words. His life was filled with the service of God. There's no room for anything else. Everything he did was service for God. He followed the Lord fully. His life from morning to night, from one day's end to another, was filled with the Lord, with the will of God, with the service of God, with those duties that he had as a child of the Lord. To fully follow the Lord is simply to devote one's entire being to his service. Like those words we used from Deuteronomy 6. Heart, soul, and mind to be the Lord's. This is how we are to live. And yet, sadly, many of the Lord's people have so many other things in their lives. Filling up their lives with the world. With activities that cannot be said to glorify the Lord. And find no part in the whole spectrum of service for God that we find in the Scriptures. They fill their lives up with other activities that are useless, sometimes even sinful in themselves. And their lives are not filled as Caleb's was with the Lord and with his ways. But then, to fully follow the Lord obviously suggests that it is to actively and continuously serve God. Caleb did not serve the Lord in short bursts, followed by long periods of inactivity, as many Christians do. They do a little today and it takes them a month to recover from the little service that they do today. And then they might feel like doing a little more. But Caleb wasn't like that. That's not what it means to fully follow the Lord. To fully follow the Lord will mean that constantly, continuously, actively, there will be a going on after God and progressing in his service and in his will. You turn to Joshua, chapter 14 and the verse 11. And 40 years almost have passed by. And Caleb is speaking again in the verse 11. And he indicates in the verse 8, referring to the testimony of the Lord concerning him, I wholly or completely again followed the Lord. Joshua 14 in the verse 8. Then in the verse 11, he's speaking now to Joshua. 40 years later, approximately, the land is to be divided up. The initial battles of Canaan have occurred. And now there is to be the division of the land and the final full settlement of Canaan. And he says to Joshua, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. It struck me as I was reading these words. How could Caleb say that? How could 40 years later Caleb say, my strength today is still the same as it was 40 years ago when God gave me certain commands? How could he say that? The answer, I think, is an obvious one. That 40 years later, he was still doing what God had given him to do 40 years previously. He was still fully serving the Lord. And he could say it wasn't an idle boast. It wasn't a statement that carried some thought in the back of his mind. Well, I hope I haven't changed, or I hope things haven't deteriorated in these 40 years. He could say it with confidence because he was still engaged in those activities. He was still fully serving the Lord, still fully following the Lord, all those years later, still doing what God had commended him for on that previous occasion in the words of the text that we're looking at. Here's a man then, he fully follows the Lord. God commends him for what he did. He continues to fully follow the Lord all those years as the servant of God. But let's think for a moment specifically of what he did do, what he actually did that God said is fully following the Lord. In chapter 13 of Numbers, in the verse 30, and we don't have time to look at all these verses, but let me just pick out some of the main thoughts of the main highlights of what it was that Caleb actually did. In the verse 30, having brought back the report, the spies that were with him, the 10 spies, with the exception of himself and Joshua only, the spies gave an evil report, discouraging and breaking the hearts of the people and turning them away from the land. But verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Here's a man, and he fully follows the Lord, and he does so by simply expressing a readiness and a desire to instantly respond to the command and the will of God. And here I think we have a further indication of what it means to wholly, fully follow the Lord. It is to be ready to obey at once. You see those words that he uses. Let us go up at once. Or we could even read them, let us certainly go up. Let us surely go up. Let's go up now. He emphasizes the fact. We want to do it right now. We want to respond now to what God has to say. So many of the Lord's people are very lackadaisical when it comes to obeying the Lord. And they think that they can hear a command from God now, and well, it will be time enough to obey tomorrow or obey next week. Or if we never get around to it, well, that's not a great or a serious crime. But the man who fully follows the Lord is a man who says, let's do it now. If it's the will of God, let's go now and do it. It's not something that is to be put off to another time. Here is the man that God commends. Here is the man that God says has done well. He obeys God now. He knows the will of God and he wants to do it right now. Oh, may the Lord deliver us from that slowness of heart, weariness, lethargy, when it comes to obeying the commands of God, when it comes time to go to the house of the Lord, when it comes time to go to the prayer meeting, when it comes time to do this little act of service or another, let's go now. Let's do it now. Let's not put it off. Let's do it now. Well, this is the desire of a man who fully follows the Lord and earns the well done of God. Then in chapter 14 in the verse 6, again Caleb is heard to speak. He and Joshua rend their clothes. Again, they bring a good report, emphasizing the good nature of the land, what God is going to do for them. Verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Again, he's a man now who's going to stand against sin in the camp. He's a man who's going to work with every fiber of his being and all the resources at his disposal. He's going to work, though heavily outnumbered, even at the risk of his own life, because the people are going to stone him with stones. He's going to stand against sin in the camp. He's going to do all that he can to oppose rebellion against God's command. Only rebel not against the Lord. Here's a man who fully follows the Lord. He wants to obey God, and he wants to do all that's in his power to stand against disobedience. It's such a simple thing, isn't it? It's such a simple thing. And yet, this is what the Lord says it means to follow the Lord fully. As a servant, he set himself to do only this, to obey God and to stand against disobedience. And with God's grace, he was determined to do it continuously with all his being. This is the man who fully follows the Lord and who wins the commendation of God. But you will see in our text that the key to this kind of obedience is the power of the Holy Ghost. My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Caleb's complete service of the Lord sprang out of the fact that he had another spirit with him. Now this is a reference to the Holy Ghost. It's not just saying that, well, Caleb had virtues and graces that other men didn't, the others there didn't have. It's not a reference to human virtues at all. It is a direct reference to the Holy Spirit. He had another spirit with him. And because he had another spirit with him, he followed the Lord fully. Now the Spirit of God is identified here in two ways, or two particular aspects of his person and work are referred to as being linked with the idea of fully following the Lord. First, there is that description, he is another spirit. Another spirit, or a different spirit, or even a foreign spirit. And the thought in this description is to emphasize the fact that the Holy Ghost who was with Caleb is one whose nature is entirely foreign to what was going on around here. The provocation, the disobedience, the rebellion, that was foreign to Caleb. The spirit that was in him and with him was of an entirely different nature to all that murmuring and rebellion and complaint and disobedience that was now prevailing in the camp of Israel. Surely we can say as we look at these words that the Spirit of God is one who distinguishes those whom he is with. He makes them different. He sets them apart. He is a man apart. And the word is used deliberately. It's almost as if Caleb is a foreigner here. His service for God was something that was radically different in nature to all that was going on around him. The Spirit-filled man will be a foreigner in this world. But sadly, as it was here, the Spirit-filled man will even be as a foreigner among the professing people of God. He will be a man apart, a man whose life is different. His life is marked with obedience. Others demonstrate disobedience. This is the difference that the Holy Spirit makes. The Holy Spirit makes a radical difference when he comes to fill the life of the child of God. He sets the man apart. His activities are different. It's almost as if he is a foreigner. The complaints, the murmuring, that balking spirit that the Israelites demonstrated, these things are all foreign, absolutely foreign. To a man like Caleb, to the man who fully follows the Lord, to the woman who fully follows the Lord, these kind of activities that we have seen as we've read some of the verses that are now prevailing in the camp of Israel, those will be foreign things to your life if you're fully following the Lord. If you're living in the Holy Ghost, these things will not be part of your life. They'll be foreign things. But not only is the Spirit of God another spirit, different to that which was at work among the other members of the nation. But you'll see that he is the spirit who accompanies and assists the servants of God. He had another spirit with him. The Holy Ghost was with him. I think the idea here is to make a difference between what we call the indwelling spirit. Every child of God has the Spirit of Christ within them. That's what makes them a child of God. But there is a difference between the indwelling Spirit and the Spirit of God with them. The Spirit of God is the Comforter here. The Comforter, the one who comes to assist, to help, to strengthen, to lead, to guide his people in power. Here is a Spirit-anointed man. Here is a man who had the Holy Ghost at his right hand. That other Spirit enabling him in his service for the Lord. Here is something that we should pray for. If we want to fully follow the Lord, we need the Holy Ghost. We need the Spirit of God with us, leading us, guiding us, taking us by the hand, energizing us, filling us with his power. You know those words in John chapter 14, where the Lord Jesus spoke of the Comforter, of the Holy Ghost coming as the Comforter of his people. It's exactly the same kind of thought as we have in our text with reference to Caleb, the Spirit of God coming to be with them. John 14, verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. He's a foreign spirit. He's another spirit. Not the spirit of the world. It's another spirit. The world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you. Isn't that what said of Caleb? The Spirit was with him. Here the Lord promises these New Testament believers that in a special way now the Holy Ghost was going to be with them. With you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Here is the work of the Comforter. Here is what enabled Caleb and what will enable us to fully follow the Lord. The Lord has promised the Holy Ghost to do this very work, to be with us. Do you make it your prayer? Lord, I want to have the Holy Spirit with me today. I want to know his power. I want to know his leading. I want to know his anointing. I want to know that comfort of his presence, because that is necessary. We are to fully follow the Lord. We can't serve God without the Holy Ghost. We cannot serve the Lord, even in the most simple and basic way. We cannot serve the Lord or follow him to any degree. Never mind follow him fully. We can't follow him to any degree without the energy and power of God, the Holy Ghost. The filling of God's Spirit is not a luxury that the believer can do without. The energy and power of the Comforter is not something that we can dispense with, except in exceptional circumstances. We can't serve God without him. I was thinking of those words in Galatians 5 where the Apostle Paul speaks of the evidences of true Christianity and those works of grace that the Christian is to demonstrate and is to engage in. You know the words in Galatians 5 and verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are simple Christian works, the acts of Christian living. But you'll see how Paul describes them. They are the fruit of the Spirit. They are the product of the Spirit in the life of the Christian. That true Christian love cannot be exercised without the Holy Ghost. It is his work in us that produces such simple and basic Christian service as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth and so on. These basic Christian elements are the product of the Holy Spirit at work in the life of the child of God. They're his fruit. And so when we look at Caleb and we see there the fact that he fully followed the Lord because he had another spirit with him, we learn again the lesson. You and I cannot serve God without the Spirit's power. Now, this is a day when there is so much error taught about the work of the Holy Ghost. There's so much error taught today about what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God that we're often afraid to pray that. We're often afraid to pray for the outpouring of the Spirit or the filling of the Spirit in case somebody thinks we're charismatic. But there is such a thing as God's servants being endued with power from on high to serve Him and to fully follow Him as His servant. You and I need that portion. We're going to serve the Lord like Caleb and win the well done of God. We need the work of the Spirit in our lives. We need to have the Holy Ghost with us and in us. But let me just quickly point out in closing the unique benefits that follow such obedience of the Lord. Caleb is given a mighty promise here. He had another spirit with him. He followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. There were blessings and benefits that followed from his obedience. Benefits that were not the experience of others in his own generation and in his own people. For you will know that all that generation, with the exception of Caleb and Joshua, died in the wilderness. What God promised Caleb was specially unique to him for that obedience that he had shown in fully following the Lord. But let me show you some of the results from that obedience, not only in the text, but in the chapter. The first and the most immediate result from him fully serving the Lord was that he was spared from God's chastening wrath upon the disobedient. 12 men stood before the congregation on that occasion. 10 of them brought up an evil report. 2 of them rent their clothes and demonstrated that spirit of faithful service, Caleb and Joshua. 10 men misrepresented God and misrepresented Canaan, and 10 men died before the Lord. Verse 37 of chapter 14. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. The word plague comes from the verb to smite. God smote them. It was the evidence of God's smiting in their lives. He chastised them. They died under his chastisement, but Caleb stood on. Caleb was spared simply because he fully followed the Lord. He obeyed God and thus was spared from the chastisement that others felt on that occasion. Living in the way that Caleb lived will spare us from the Father's displeasure, will spare us from the chastening rod of God. Caleb was spared because he had another spirit with him and fully followed the Lord. But then in our text there is that promise of a future personal experience of all that Canaan had to offer. Later on in this same book, in Numbers 32, in verse 11 and 12, the Lord again repeats the statement. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. The experience of Canaan for these men depended upon their obedience. What made the difference? The Lord says the only difference was that one group didn't follow the Lord and these two men did. And because they followed the Lord, they were promised this personal experience of God's land of Canaan itself. The promises of the Lord are secured to those who obey Him. God has covenant promises for His people, but they are only experienced by those who obey Him. They are only personally enjoyed by those who, like Caleb, fully follow the Lord. Now, it's easy enough to think of Canaan as a picture of heaven. And yes, heaven is secure for those who obey Him. But Caleb, the promise here is not related to heaven. It's related to his earthly pilgrimage. There were blessings in store for Caleb on the earth that came to him because of his obedience of the Lord. It was part of his earthly experience. God blessed him. God fulfilled his promises to this man. He gave him the fullness of an inheritance in Canaan because he obeyed. Oh, there are things that you and I will miss out on if we disobey the Lord. If we fully follow him, then and only then we will enter into the fullness of that portion that he has appointed for us. But you'll see that his family too would enjoy the benefits of Canaan. Verse 24, his seed shall possess it. And if you go to Judges chapter 1, we'll not take time now, you'll find there Caleb's daughter in the land, Aksah, having that portion given to her by her father, and those upper and lower springs, a double portion given to her by Caleb in the land. But if you look at verse 21 of Numbers chapter 14, there is an indication there, I believe, at least the suggestion of the reward that is yet to come for Caleb's service. There is a statement there, the Lord said, as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. I believe that what this is a reference to the day of the Lord. I believe that the Lord refers to this, and I think that it fits in quite well with the context. Why would the Lord refer to a day that is yet future, even to that day when the Savior comes and His glory fills the earth? Why would He refer to that now? Well, I believe that this is a reason why God did not fully avenge the sin of the people on this occasion. It's as if to say there's a day coming. There's a day coming when it will be dealt with fully and finally in the day of the Lord. Our God is a God of patience and long suffering, and though sin, it seems, may be passed over, there's a day coming. And when even God's people will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and their failures will be dealt with on that occasion. Things that may be, as it were, passed over in this life, in the day when the glory of the Lord fills the earth, they'll not be passed over then. They'll not be passed over. Not until that day will the believer enter into the full reward of his service. Even Caleb, now in heaven, still hasn't entered yet into the fullness of his heavenly reward for all the service that he did for the Lord. Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to read at the verse 19. And in the context of the parable, the Lord here is speaking of his coming, the day when his glory fills the earth. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The Lord is speaking of that day when all his people, where his saints will rise at his return, and all his people gathered, assembled before him, will be rewarded for their service, for the service that they did for him on earth. Caleb will be there, and Caleb will be rewarded for fully following the Lord in the day when the glory of the Lord fills the earth. There is a reward in life for serving God. Caleb discovered that, but there is a reward that is yet to come and will be given to God's people who have faithfully served him on that day when his glory fills the earth. Here is the example of a man who fully followed the Lord. I trust that as we have looked at Caleb this morning in this brief fashion, the Lord has stirred your heart to say, I want to fully follow. Well, recognize that you need the Spirit of God and make it your prayer, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to be filled with God's power that I might fully follow the Lord. For it is only in His power that we can give ourselves body, heart, soul and mind to His service. It's only in the Spirit's power that we can conquer the flesh and fully and faithfully follow the Lord as his servant. You'll never be worse off for serving God as Caleb served him. But rather there are all these blessings upon our own in our own lives, in the lives of our families, and in the wider cause of God that will come to those who fully follow him. Will you follow the Lord? Dear Christian, will you follow the Lord? This is the challenge from Caleb's example. Will you follow? Will you follow the Lord? And if you're out of Christ today, still in your sin, the challenge is, in a sense, still the same. Will you follow Him? Will you begin to follow Christ? Will you turn to Him for pardon, for mercy, for salvation? Will you obey His call in the gospel and begin to follow today? What blessings are in store for all who trust in Christ and for all who faithfully follow the Lord? Let's bow together, please, in prayer.